Take it as hot.
There's a typo in it?
Yeah, it says it instead of if. Mm. In one of the last, in the last panel, one of the bowls. Mm. I fixed it on Dropbox if you want to replace it on our website.
Okay.
But you don't feel obligated to. I just put it up there for future, like when I pull them down and, you know,
I mean,
make them for the book and stuff.
It is, it is doing well.
I it was the only thing I thought about all week. I told people at work, I told Karen, I go, that was the most fun. The whole time I was like, he's going to fuck us, he's going to fuck us. And then he fucked us. But it was fun.
I'm not going to lie. That was my favorite way for a joke to get ruined.
Oh, you didn't get to use your punchline, so I made a joke of it? Oh,
okay. Yes, yes. I mean, because... This is the Zoomer Boomer War. This was supposed to be the joke about how Zoomers will never own a house.
Yeah, or be very difficult for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, the house was going to turn into a walking nightmare. And I'm A-okay with it being the well that became the walking nightmare. It was fantastic. And then you made it a fantastic strip. So I'm not even kind of sad.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun trying, because it went back and forth. Like, how do I tell this progression and make it keep getting worse, and then get to a point where, like, okay, wait a minute, we need to start again. And yeah, I bringing it back, basically doing the fight in reverse was the only way.
Right.
And making the crux, I knew the little ones would die automatically if I killed them. wait, little ones? So.
It was so fucking great to read that strip. I started laughing immediately. My wife is staring at me like I'm on, like, just bugs coming out of my hair or something. It was great. Like, trust me, you would have had to have been there.
Yeah, I was equally excited.
I got to draw Doug again. So.
Yeah. It's just a hilarious way to that is the best wrap up of that.
It spoils the D&D broadcast, but.
But does it though?
It only
does if we talk about how it does.
Yeah, true. My favorite thing about the strips are my colored bubbles, because I can do those other panels without little lines pointing to anything, and right. You know who's talking and who's and, you know, what's being said by.
Yes, you have in panel one, you have already defined who is what bubble and how does this correlate together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was over the life of the strip, my getting rid of the outline of the bubbles. That was just quality of life change. But then throwing a color on all of them.
Yeah.
Has been my most beloved discovery.
Man, and I feel like I remember about the time when you did that, because you were super amped about it.
Yeah.
And now, now it just feels like it's been...
Now you take it for granted, but yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, it's been...
6 years since we've been doing the strip.
Yeah, April 1st will be 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, 2019.
So, no. 5 years. 2018.
Was?
Fairly confident.
All right.
Didn't we do the strip when we did O'Clock, or did we do...
It came after, I think.
Okay. So, yeah, then it'd be 5 years.
Yeah, because the number of strips says 5 years. Because I'm in 250s.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to this shit.
I'm doing 259 right now. So 50 a year, that's 5 years.
52.
Well, we were also well over a year into it before he was co-hosting.
That's true.
Yes, you guys were doing podcasts long before.
Like, we'd been doing it over a year, if I remember correctly.
I mean, I just know that it's been 6 years since we kickstarted O'Clock because sad things and whatnot.
Right.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I guess it would be 5 years on the strip.
The April of Fools.
So, anybody watch anything cool this week?
I watched that Poor Things on Hulu.
Okay.
With Emma Thompson. She was born
Emma Stone. Emma Thompson.
Emma Stone, sorry.
Emma Thompson's a whole different lady.
Different lady, yeah. It was interesting.
The name's different.
It felt kind of Wes Anderson-y, but not that much. Just because the settings weren't the importance of the story. So they had these weird, almost like stage settings. But the story was very strange, but I liked it.
Okay.
I kind of want to live in that world. It's very weird. Like the scientist who basically gives her life or reanimates her, he has a chicken's body with a bulldog head, a bulldog with a duck's head. And he's like recombined all these animals in his house and they're just wandering around. This is fucked up. But and William Dafoe plays the crazy scientist.
So. Okay.
What's his name? Mark Ruffalo's character is both despicable and lovable. So he's so pitiful that you almost like him, or he's at least the comedy at times.
Okay.
But I don't want to spoil it if you ever watch it. So. Kind of sneaks up on you, like what the point of it is.
It's very artsy, apparently. So
it is. It's got a kind of a weird Tim Burton-y kind of feel to it, like.
Tim Burton and Wes Anderson got together and made a Frankenstein baby.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I mean, the choices were made then.
Yeah.
I think it won for costuming and makeup and a bunch of other type of stuff like that. So
yeah, really,
something was going to be crazy in it.
The dialogue is very smart and sharp and. You know, there's a lot of back and forth retorts, so it's fun to dance along with the conversations. So,
okay. But
other than that, I just watched a bridge collapse about 1,000 times.
Yeah,
so quick.
It was like they made it out of stacking playing cards. It's well. The bridge is old. So, you know, it's obviously, and other bridges of that era, I guess, are building stone pillars or artificial islands around their support structure. So stuff like that wouldn't happen. And then just this bridge just didn't have that yet.
Correct.
and it had the luck of having the worst cargo ship ever sail under it. Apparently this thing is a plague, and this was just bound to happen.
Oh, is this, the same ship that got stuck over in the Middle East?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it had other accidents. I don't remember
the exact location.
It had other accidents.
The Suez Canal.
Okay.
Yeah. It had other accidents. It's passed or failed engine inspections and safety, fail safes and all these things. But yet, still, you know, flying along.
Well, there's been
tons and tons of cargo.
There's been.
And
some
if this holds up my Amazon order, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. There's been some unconfirmed reports that there was a loss of power on the ship.
Yeah, you can see the lights go off. You can see the lights come back on. Then a big puff of smoke comes out of nowhere. And then it just drifts into the, or kind of charges into the support.
Yeah.
I just like the people that have fished up an old clip from The Wire where the one character is saying, this bridge is going to be here forever. And it's that bridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like watching, like, is this from the past? Did this just happen? What is this? And then it was just kind of dumbfounded that something that catastrophic could just happen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of strange that a car, you can see the headlights of the car crossing, and then the ship hits it and it all falls.
Yeah.
And you don't really see any cars fall, but they have confirmed that there are cars in the water.
Yep.
Like some people fell in.
Was it outside of the workers or was it just the workers' cars?
What workers?
There were people on the bridge filling potholes.
Oh.
They're the ones in the water. But I didn't know there was any other cars.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was the workers. I just know that they said there was cars in there.
Yeah. I think it was just the people working on there.
Okay. Because they said, like, earlier they were saying there's a possibility that cars went in there as well, but they didn't
go
beyond the workers that they could confirm.
Yeah, it's 1:30 in the morning, so luckily you had that going for it.
I mean, basically, the fact that it was 1:30 in the morning and they were doing a resurfacing on the bridge are the only things that kept from being just a fucking catastrophe.
Yeah.
Not that it's not, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, two-digit deaths as opposed to
hundreds,
thousands even. You know, like, it's just, yeah.
That's a well-used,
very well-used
across the bay. I mean,
yeah.
I remember going to Virginia Beach, and we took the long way around the bay there, and it took like 2 hours to get to a place. If we just done the bridge, Mom, it would have been, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah, Athena and I want to say it was on our way into D.C., when we took a long weekend, just the two of us, went to go see my buddy Nick in DC and just kind of hit the sights and whatnot. And we flew into Baltimore. And I don't remember if it was on our way into DC or when we were leaving DC to go back to Baltimore that we crossed that bridge.
This weekend?
No, this was 15 years ago, 16 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Kesley was barely at forming sentences. Not a lot of sentences, but could string a sentence together. So two, three.
So like 6 months?
Yeah. Just like two or three.
just wild.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this is just political ammo for whoever wants to use it, apparently, because
people are stupid.
Because it's impossible to apply blame to someone.
Oh no, there is blame to go around. There is blame aplenty to go around.
Yes, but not the people who directly are responsible aren't on that list.
No, but I would say that, you know, if you want to start hurling blame at politicians, that's fine. Let's start hurling it at Congress. Start hurling it, you know, and let's not play preciousness here. Let's hurl some blame at Obama and hurl some blame at Trump and hurl some blame at Biden in Congress, because everybody just kept passing the fucking buck on infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Minneapolis where that bridge collapsed, like way back?
What's that?
10 years ago? Was it like Minneapolis, like 10 years ago where that bridge collapsed? Okay.
Yes.
Because like that one got rebuilt, and then they were like, oh, we got to do something. And then I don't remember any other ones getting rebuilt.
And then nobody's
the talking point to get voters.
Yeah.
You know, talks about infrastructure and, you know, basically the jobs that entails. And the money that is being spent, you know, to have that, it's a good selling point, and it gets people on your side when that affects them directly. Yeah. But come time to do it,
let's be clear.
You can run on that. You can get elected on that, but that doesn't mean Congress is going to let you do that.
Well, if you're an elected official who served in the federal government in the past 15 years.
You haven't done shit.
The part of this is on your head. That I don't care what elected position you had in federal government. You're there in the last 15 years. You helped lead to this point.
Did you see that the Supreme Court went against Marjorie Taylor Greene?
No.
So she always refused to wear her mask while in the congressional building. Well, it's a $500 fine.
Sure.
For not wearing fine.
Each plus time, it's I a, believe.
Plus, no, it's a $500 fine and then a $2,500 fine for each subsequent offense. So... And she was saying it's a violation of blah, 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 and she's not vaccinated, and I'm not going to do all this shit. The Supreme Court said, Dem's the rules. You broke the rules. Knowing the rules, you get to pay the fine. And apparently, it totals over $100,000. And it isn't one that she can just choose not to pay. It will be taking... a deducted from her pay.
Nice.
Which is
not that much.
Which is over half of what she earns as a congressman.
Good.
Is funny because she was just running like a she was sending out tweets about like we need to have a fundraising Monday. And that was like I think last Monday. So
yeah.
She must have known it was coming.
Yeah. So,
good.
You know, fuck the stupid. That's all I got to say.
No, don't fuck the stupid. That makes more stupid.
Yeah.
Naturally.
You should actually fuck the smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Idiocracy taught you.
Yeah.
True.
I watched a thing that wasn't a bridge collapse.
Okay.
The new Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
It makes me ill every time I see the ad for it.
How was it?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot. The acting, so there are only a couple of things that you have to go into it knowing. One, it's not like the shot for shot Psycho remake that it was Gus Van Sant, I believe, did. Like, this is not that. This is a, it's that story, but sort of reimagined.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I've not seen the original.
It shifts the location from, like, what?
He hasn't seen the original?
No.
I mean, I haven't, but I'm younger, so.
So, it, but it, it shifts the location from a like, a roadhouse that's in, like, the Plain States.
Uh-huh.
To Florida.
Because Florida.
Well, it... There's a reason. It ends up getting explained in a way that makes sense. The Jake Gyllenhaal's character is the Patrick Swayze character, but is such a radical redesign of that character, because he is a former MMA fighter, which was not anywhere close to what Patrick Swayze's background character's background was.
Yeah, I believe he went to school for philosophy.
Yes. So there's a bit of a different take in that regard. Conor McGregor cannot act. You just have to, like, if you go in to watch this, you just have to accept that Conor McGregor cannot act, but it's kind of okay because he's still absolutely batshit ridiculous in pretty much every scene he's in.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not sure he can even read his lines, so.
I mean, to give some context about how absolutely insane his character's name is Knox. He's got this big necklace with a medallion, says Knox. He's got the old English style lettered tattoo in that arch on his tummy. The way that
that says Knox?
No, it says Knox, Knox, Knox.
That's fucking this is why I can't watch this movie.
So, like, he's fucking nuts. And this was a big point for me, because I knew they had, like, a real MMA fighter in here, and I knew Jake Gyllenhaal was going to have to fight him. Like, these were things that were going to happen. And so my thing going into it was, are their fights going to be believable?
Okay.
Because actor, not MMA fighter, MMA fighter, not actor.
Uh-huh.
So it was a question of whether or not it could look or feel like a believable encounter. It does. They're able to, like, Gyllenhaal is fucking jacked for this. There is no lack of believability in when they're fighting.
Cool.
Like, it is, and it's not like when they fight, it is wholly one-sided. There is a good back and forth in their encounter.
Okay.
I thought it was a fun movie.
Okay. Well, I will see your remake of Roadhouse and raise you, there's something in the barn.
Okay.
I'm out of a barn.
There's Something in the Barn is a Norwegian American comedy horror film.
Done. I'm out.
You're out?
Yeah.
Why?
Norwegian. It's obviously in English, right?
It's in English.
Okay.
No dubbing, no subtitles.
I assumed it was the horror movie aspect.
No. I can't watch stuff with subtitles. I don't have that kind of attention span. Other things.
There are a couple of points where there are some subtitles, but it's not required that you read the subtitles, though it does provide some humor. It's an American family who inherits their uncle's home in Norway, and they're going to live there. And at one point, the father is trying to speak Norwegian to a group of Norwegians. And reading his subtitles are absolutely hysterical. In things like that. Like, bonus, but you could just keep your head down and be like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to know what they say, and it's totally fun. It is... Okay, so take, like, the Goosebumps movie level of, like, young adult campiness in a film.
Okay.
And then just make it R-rated. Like, do not increase the maturity level of the camp at all. It is a made-for-TV Goosebumps movie in feeling, but instead of being that almost PG-13 of a Goosebumps movie, it's fucking R.
Okay.
It was weird, a little offbeat in like the best way, and just a delightful time. You could argue it, like I would, if someone watched it and they said, you know what, the tone of the movie just didn't match like the rating, I would say, okay, that's a fair critique. I could understand why you struggled with that. I found it to be a funny juxtaposition, but I can recognize I am not all on. I would say IMDb style ratings, you know, I'd say like 5.5, solid 6 out of 10. Very much worth the watch. It's on Netflix. It was a good time.
What's it called again?
There's Something in the Barn.
Okay.
So what's in the barn?
A barn elf.
A barn elf?
Correct.
Is this some like Norwegian folklore yes. type elf? Okay.
It is, yes. It's chock full of folklore and fable and a good time. And there's a couple of points where you're just like, what the batshit am I watching? It's great.
I feel like it's a lot of Chad recommendations and like that.
I find...
What the fuck am I watching?
Yes, I find the what the fuck am I watching that's worth the watch.
Not always.
Well,
there's been plenty of times where he's told you it was bad shit, it's not really worth watching, but he still described it.
Yeah. Yeah, this I felt
was... You don't always find it, but it doesn't stop you from the...
That's true. That's true.
For the next one.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it Velosa Preacher or something? Is your favorite bad movie?
It's one of my favorite bad movies, yes. Listen, man.
Pastor.
You. I don't know why you knock it, man.
What?
That movie, you're so down on that movie.
No, I've never seen it.
Is he down on that movie, or is he down on liking shit films?
But is it fair? Is it fair to call Velocipastor a shit film when they knew exactly what they were making? They leaned into that.
So I will say yes, only because I'm willing to accept that Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is a shit movie.
Yes, it is.
But it is also one of my favorites.
It is also a classic, yes.
Okay. Is Slither a shit movie?
Never seen it.
Oh.
Now, sorry. Did they answer this in the movie? Can velociraptors actually clasp their hands in prayer?
They
seem like that T-Rex style of maybe not, but then like
right.
I remember if they had some big old fingernails, it might be able to hook together.
I don't know if that actually gets answered or not.
I feel like that's one of the life's great mysteries.
I'm going to go to Google.
All right.
Is it a person that turns into a raptor that is a preacher?
Yes. He is a pastor who turns into a velociraptor.
Is it like a were velociraptor or something?
So, I mean, that's lycanthropy would be a good...
Analog,
yeah. But you got to keep in mind, they totally, like, they knew their budget. And so you've got, like, the inflatable Velociraptor T-Rex costume you can get at, like, Spirit Halloween.
Like the ones where you wear and you walk around.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. This is, like, the...
I think that guy could pray.
The super deluxe version of that costume. Like, it's not the $39.99 one, but it's closer to the $39.99 one than having, like, an actual special effects
budget. It's like the dollar store knockoff version?
No, it's very nice for what it is, but it is very clear that it is something along those lines, not like a special effects department.
I mean, the special effects of Spirit Halloween.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know what?
At that point, it's just kind of whether or not his wrist can bend.
It was a good time. I do not regret my time watching Velocipaster. I do not regret my time watching There's Something Under the Barn. Or There's Something in the Barn.
Okay, wait. Under the Barn, that'd be a totally different story.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know where
I watched a Nicolas Cage movie recently as well.
You watched what?
I did get to see a Nicolas Cage movie recently as well. Hulu, The Retirement Plan.
Oh, okay. I am unfamiliar.
Is it viable?
It's fun.
No, The Retirement Plan.
I mean, such as it is, he's attempting to live life as a retired assassin.
Okay.
So he plays to his age.
Yeah. That's weird.
And ends up having to, and sort of has to come out of retirement to do some shit for his kid.
Like, thinking about the fact that Nicolas Cage is now an old man.
Didn't he, like, 62?
Something like that.
I saw a picture of the guy who played Winston in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He's fucking jacked, and he's like 78.
Yeah.
That dude was freaking, like, looking like he was barely 60s.
Yeah, he looks the youngest of those that are still around.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's hard to look as disheveled as Bill Murray. That man has taken that to a fucking art form lately.
I mean, there are some times where I have to stop and think, is Bill Murray dead? Because I don't know. Like, yeah. That's how.
I know somebody killed him in a movie, yeah.
Well, yeah, but aside from Zombieland, sometimes it's just like, well, he looked pretty bad the last time I saw a picture of him, so maybe.
He's just taken that to an art form, man.
I watched the lady version of Ghostbusters the other day just because I love Chris Hemsworth in that. He's so fucking hilarious.
I enjoy that.
You watched the ladies movie for the man?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, they're funny too because it's got
they're all
McKenna, good. McKenna in it, and she's fucking hilarious. But yeah, Chris Hemsworth is just. I watched an interview with them, and they were talking about him, and that all of them were like, "Fuck Chris Hemsworth, fuck him, no, fuck that guy. He's gorgeous, he is funny, and did you know he can fucking sing too? So fuck that guy." That's funny. Yeah, he's. Too lucky.
Can we talk about the conservative brain meltdown on the internet this week.
Which one?
The one about Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, about her boobs ruined.
Are you talking about her new movie?
Yes.
She's in a horror movie with a nun, and now they're all mad because she was the Taiwan princess for the time.
Yes. Yes. So they have lost their ever-loving mind, and there are conspiracy theories now that she is in this movie as part of the liberal agenda because she was the conservative movement's darling. And I'm just
this was filmed before that.
Right. So the other thing...
They have no sense of time. It's only what's in front of them.
The other thing to consider...
Sometimes if it's not moving and it's still in front of them, they can't see it either, so...
Yeah, true.
It's not like she was, like, chained to a pillar and forced to make this movie. She made this movie on her own accord.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was only their darling because of Saturday Night Live, right?
No, because she was in some fucking... video at a birthday party or something, and her mom is wearing a MAGA hat.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And she refused to, I don't know, she refused to talk shit about her mom or something. I don't fucking know. I don't care.
I read the synopsis for this, for the movie they're all like lathered up about on the internet. It sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, like, is it like nuns and horror movie and abortions and all the other stuff?
No, like you've got mad scientist priests attempting to do some genetic stuff with holy relics.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like a fucking... made for sci-fi movie I watched on Freevee not that long ago.
Like,
now,
I'm not gonna lie, the plot totally sounds like a made for TV movie. Like it sounds like Dr. Moreau meets Rosemary's Baby.
Okay. God, I wish I could remember the name of that flick that I watched on Freevee, because it was actually like, it had no business being as good as it was.
I feel like at the same time, like the synopsis that I read sounded like a lot of the horror movies from the last 10 years. Like, it's always something outrageous, and then there's a nun just because they like to put nuns in horror movies. And I don't know. Like, it might be slightly more over the top, but like, nuns and priests in horror movies have been forever.
Yeah. Is this a movie that's going to be in theaters, or is this something
else? Yes.
Yeah. Oh. What is it called?
Immaculate.
Sounds it.
Because aren't they like trying to recreate the Immaculate Conception?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's not so like much the Immaculate Conception as I'm not gonna spoil a key thing on air. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
I did enjoy that their marketing team, because you can tell it's probably not. I mean, they've got a budget. It's not sci-fi, but it's not a huge budget.
Yeah.
So they were literally like, somebody made a joke. It's like, I want that review on a t-shirt. So they were mocking up several like reviews, like all the words from the like shitty mega screeching. They just put it onto a t-shirt.
Nice.
And they were reposting those when people would comment on it. So like their social media team was doing its job.
Nice.
Which is basically what you need for a lot of those horror movies, because a lot of that is they got to make the most out of a small marketing budget. So anytime you can troll some people and get articles about trolling people, it's working exactly the way I want it to.
Right. I mean, you can't expect a $40 million horror movie to have a Avengers Endgame level budget.
Right. But yeah, I saw some of the stuff there. People were posting their marketing team, and it's quality.
Sweet. I will have to check this shit out.
Check our group chat.
Oh, okay.
Two reasons. One, I think that Velociraptor could pray.
Okay.
if that's an appropriate representation too, I just went ahead and put the other thing in the group chat because I'm not going to remember in half an hour. And I, it was just absolutely batshit when it got to that point. Because it was weird up to that in the synopsis. And then it's like, oh, okay. Now we're just, we're throwing it all out and getting crazy.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay.
I mean,
I'm here for this.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't done that before. I feel like they've skirted along the edges of that suggestion.
I mean, that was essentially what this freebie movie that I watched was trying to do. But instead of that thing that you mentioned, they were trying to do it with the Shroud of Turin.
Okay.
That sounds like a plot to one of the Dresden Files.
Oh, shit. I think I've seen that movie.
Like, it's stark and it's European. I think it's French. But it's all in English. Fuck, why can't I remember the name of it? I'm going to find it now. I'm kind of mad that I can't remember the name of it.
I'm in the middle of a match, but I'll Google it afterwards if you haven't found it.
Match.com? What?
No, video game match. A video game.
Baser Paul's kind of stuff?
Devil Conspiracy?
Yes, that's it. You beat me to it by literally I was pressing enter. Yes. The Devil Conspiracy.
Yeah, that was the first answer that came up when I just said French horror movie Shroud of Turin.
Yes. It is 1,000,000% worth the watch. I normally watch freebie movies to fall asleep. I kept going back to like fast forward, rewind to get to the point where I remembered before I fell asleep because I wanted to finish this movie.
Okay.
It was 100% worth it.
So what did P. Diddy get rated for?
Who knows?
Probably underage girls, but that's just the current suggestion.
That's kind of what he was always, I don't want to say known for, but like the rumors were always swirling that while R. Kelly was kind of a creepy, pervy guy, Diddy was the one who could get him for you.
I mean, they had a bunch of people, like, they've been rounding up all the quotes from people going like, yeah, I'll go to the Diddy party, but I'm make sure I leave super early because I don't want to be around after hours.
Right.
Like, it was one of those open secrets about, like, nobody's going to say it because it's Diddy, but hey, guys, don't hang around Diddy after dark.
Yeah.
The longer shit like this goes on, I'm just kind of convinced if you have a certain level of money or fame, you're doing this. This or something else, or there's something too much money, too much time, not enough stuff to hold your attention. You start to fuck up.
It's not that you gravitate to quote unquote this thing that we're kind Jared of talking from around. Subway. Right. It's that with enough time and enough celebrity, you get to a point where whatever your deepest, darkest, would never talk about it with anybody desire is, you get to a point where you're able to do that.
Yeah, and you're famous enough and connected enough that even if people know about it, you're too valuable in your position for them to right. drop a dime on you.
Right.
You mean so too much
you've
to
got
their,
enough people
you mean
to too blame much, it on.
Right.
You mean too much to their success for them to allow you to go down.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Like, Diddy's not on the phone book in this. He has an assistant, like, just like all the rappers had, you know.
Right.
Kind of beg man to carry their drugs. You have some kind of assistant that books all your underage girls.
Right.
Diddy's not out there, like, dialing up numbers himself.
No. But here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If it's true, and I say if with, like, I'm trying not to be shitty, but I wasn't there, so I can't say that it's true. And I'll wait until we have more evidence before I say it's true. But if it is true, the motherfucker can go to prison and sit and rot.
You're like, Dave Chappelle was trying to warn us about how crazy Diddy was.
You know, it kind of seems that way.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like all that stuff where you look back and they're like, haha, they were making jokes about stuff, just like all the Weinstein jokes that you see at like award shows after the fact.
Right.
It's or like, yep, it was an open secret, and it wasn't that secret. People just didn't care to look.
They just wanted to be stars.
Or so, when
not even that, up. Like, I mean, if you're at a party and there might be underage girls, like, how do you prove it in a way that doesn't get you screwed up into a big old mess of other stuff? Like,
right.
You show up at Diddy's house, it's like you're not there to check ID on everybody that's at the party.
Right. Or, you know, apparently SpongeBob was trying to warn us about Dan Schneider way back in the day.
Why would he say?
I'm Dirty Dan. Apparently.
Like Dirty Dan's. Well, it is Nickelodeon. I don't know.
Apparently that was about Dan Schneider.
Okay.
And just nobody caught on to it until, you know, it was blatantly pointed out that that was what it was.
Well, like, and some of his stuff, like, I knew it was always, like, the border, but then some of the ones that I saw there from, I didn't watch most of the shows.
Right.
Like, some of the stuff I saw, it was like, oh, yeah, no, that was well beyond what needed to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I enjoy some of those jokes, and, like, you can't really get away with them now, but some of them were slightly amusing that they threw it in there, and, like, oh, the kids didn't pick up on that, but then... Some of them were just so blatant that it was like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure the kids might have picked up on that one.
Right. Yep. I don't know. I just, whatever. So I have...
terrible people, it's hard to figure out who to cancel first.
True. Well, I want to just because all we've
vigorously defend him.
No, we talk about shitty people fairly regularly. I'd like to talk about a good guy.
Okay,
If you could find
Jason Mark, good guy,
Jerry Trainer.
True.
Because we talk about the conversation is about how. Like, it was such a shit show at Nickelodeon then. Jerry Trainer would come in on his days off to keep an eye on the kids.
Yep.
Mm.
And so Athena ordered Jeanette McCurdy's book, and he's even referenced in a very positive light in there. So,
yeah, he always seemed like a good guy.
Yeah.
But it does.
Which one is he?
He was Carly's brother.
Oh, the Spencer character?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the girls loved him.
Yeah, we watched that before. Like, our kids were, like, just bored, and we were watching that because it was, like, funny in the background type of thing.
Elizabeth has a huge, like, flag that hangs up in her dorm room and now her apartment, I think. It's the Gibby character with no shirt on, and there's a bunch of kids around him like it's a party. And the quote is, what, you a cop?
Yeah.
She's had that in her room for, God, she had it when she was in high school. I think Karen ordered it for him because they fucking love that Gibby character. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sucked he made so many good shows in such a shitty way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because, like, honestly, all those shows, they hired fantastic kid actors that continued to be good for the most part as they got older, because
yeah,
that's very hit or miss on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's it just kind of worked for sure.
So, I applied for a new job this week.
Within the same company?
Indeed.
Okay. I didn't think that was going to change.
Yeah.
Can't get out of porn that quickly.
True.
I mean, you can pull out pretty quick.
Yes, but they just put you in something else.
Yes. Yes. No, I applied to be a data architect.
Okay.
Those are words.
So I, in my life, have not searched for, been on the job hunt often. When I was young, I mean, it was all the time. Like, I'm fairly confident between the ages of 16 and 21, I probably had 100 jobs. No joke. But since 21, I've had 3 jobs, including the one I'm in now. So, you know, I did the thing that everybody's doing now, where you run your resume through AI and do all that. I felt dirty, felt real dirty. Because I am damn proud of the resume that I was able to put together using AI.
I mean, if they're going to read your resume with AI, I don't feel bad at all.
Right, right.
Like, it's entirely gotten to the point where it's just robots talking to robots. And
yeah.
Unless you're already know the guy that's doing the hiring.
I mean, I do.
You've got to play that game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you were applying outside the company.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of questions. Like, I'm number one, I'm awful at trying to sell myself.
Oh yeah, I'm terrible at interviewing, which is why I don't really apply to other things. Because even if I get past all that shit, I'll just fuck it up. So, what's
the point? Like, you know, I'm trying to think. Okay, I'm applying for a data architect position. This is data, databases, things like that. I need to, like, you know, look at my previous job experience through that lens. And so, like, going way back to the first e-commerce position that I had at the company that I generally don't name on air, I did database work there, actually developing a inventory program to track sales of one-off serialized items. I'm like, okay, well, how do I, like, I don't want to just only talk about that, but I do want to talk about it while also, you know, talking about what the job was actually about and how I was able to use, you know, my database knowledge and whatnot to do this thing. So I just threw it all into ChatGPT and I was like, give me 4 bullet points. And boom, it spit out 4 bullet points. And I read them and I kind of edited them and I was like, check my grammar on these 4 bullet points. And it did. I'm like, holy fucking shit, this is great. So I spent like 90 minutes essentially rebuilding my resume from scratch just by like taking me and throwing all of my shit into ChatGPT. And then I had my wife look it over and say, hey, just, you know, did I miss anything? Does this read okay? And she gave me a couple more changes, and boom, I had a resume.
It's nice when you only have to reference like 3 jobs and not 15. So,
right.
You can be a little more focused.
Yeah. I don't know how some people, like, I get the younger people thing where they're, you know, moving job to try and like take advantage of shifting economy and whatnot to better position themselves to make the monies. Man, I do not have that kind of.
No, well, the problem is like, well, that also helps if you're not like settled down, if you're never going to own a home.
True.
Kind of move whatever you want.
Right.
But also, like right now, congratulations, you screwed yourself because you're the first one out the door as soon as anything else happens.
Right.
Like, oh, we got to get rid of some stuff. Okay. Then you're going to be the one to go.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the downsides to, I don't know if I want to say it's a downside, but one of the things I don't know how I'm going to handle about the new job, I might get sent work from home if I get the new job.
Like, okay.
Full time.
Okay.
We're out of room.
You're the only one that really hates working from home, so.
Correct. And I recognize that is a me thing.
I hate it too.
I don't. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely do not. Like, I miss talking to people, but then I got 7 more hours of my day that I got to fill, and I don't need to be in an office to do that.
Oh, no, there are definitely parts of my job I am A-okay with doing from home. But, like, collaboration work, building data models, things like that, like, you can do it online. You can do it through Zoom or Teams or whatever your preferred method is. It just sucks. I'm very much a let's all go sit in the conference room and talk this through and hash it out on a whiteboard kind of guy.
Okay.
And then like once we get through the initial like fleshing it out and understanding what everybody wants, then okay, leave me the fuck alone. I'm going to go sit on my computer and do work by myself. I don't need, you know, other humans at that point. But I definitely appreciate the in-person collaboration to get a project started. The other thing is that probably has a lot to do with the type of work that I do, the type of work that Ray does versus the type of work that Jeff and Dee do. Not shit talking the work that either of you do. It's just, it's markedly different.
My work's very visual. If I have a question, I need to be in front of the person to show them what I'm talking about.
Company policy is going to prevent me from talking about my job.
Correct.
That's on air, fine. At least.
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I very much have a, if everything gets done, nobody complains type of job, so.
Right.
Everything gets done. Plus, we're not exactly running around trying to rework all of our stuff all the time either, so.
Right.
You seem like you're redesigning stuff all the time.
Because
you're small enough to do that.
Well, for the next, I'd say probably 5 to 6 years, everything is a redesign.
Right.
Because we're still not through all the pain of the merger that happened in 2019. Because they kicked that can down the road multiple times. Now that shit has come home to roost. Yay. Yeah, so...
So you're saying that that's tomorrow's problem? It's tomorrow?
Yes, yes. Actually... tomorrow's problem is now yesterday's problem. We're past the time that this should have been handled.
And there's more problems.
Yes, yes. It is yesterday's problem, and we've still got today's problems and tomorrow's to consider.
Yeah, the real problem I have with work right now is... everything seems to be a problem, even when the system is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you work on a project and you send it through proofing and they find stuff that needs changed, that's a problem. They should not find things to be changed. And I'm like, are there art changes? No. Okay, that's what I was hired
for. Right.
That's where my skill set is. You know this.
Right.
Yesterday, you liked that. So that's my problem right now.
So my problem right now is that I haven't been sleeping, and I've been in the middle of... oh, man. All right. So, like, regular anxiety, just in general, plus a panic attack since Monday.
Okay.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's doing this super fun thing where I can't get warm. I'm not running a fever. My temperature is normal. I only feel like I just feel like I'm freezing. Example, Monday, it was like 73 degrees when I got home from work. Beautiful mm-hmm. sunny day. I had mm-hmm. 6 shirts on when I went for a walk with my wife, and I was still shivering.
Wow.
I wear 2 shirts every day. I can't imagine wearing 6 shirts.
And I almost took a winter hat with me.
Like, do you have enough blood to circulate it correctly?
I do.
Is it a circulation issue? Do you need...
It's not a circulation issue. I did some research. It's apparently regular anxiety and panic attacks, if those two things come together in the right way, it can do funky things to your body, because one is trying to do one physiological response and the other's trying to do essentially the opposite.
Yep.
And when they meet, ooh, you just get cold.
You just got locked into like permanent chills?
Yes. Because okay. It's like the one is trying to do nervous sweats to cool you down, but the other one is trying to shiver to warm you up. It's yeah, so it's not fun.
Sorry to hear that, man.
It's just been fucking exhausting.
Sounds like it.
Is the coldness causing the sleeping issues, or is that just the regular anxiety?
Well, it's not helping. being constantly cold certainly doesn't help in that regard. But no, the other thing that's not helping the sleeping issue is that I've started dreaming again, and I fucking hate when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Cause that's, dreaming is bad?
When I dream, it's bad, because it's only ever nightmares.
Oh.
I mean, the only good thing that comes out of it is I've got 2 story ideas.
They sound like fun stories.
I mean, the one does. Alien. The one involves aliens and it predicated off of something I saw online. It was essentially just a, it was not intended as a story prompt. I took it as a story prompt. But it was just like, what would happen if aliens showed up, just hung around over the ocean for a couple of days, clearly interacting with something under the water, and they just left?
Yeah.
Had nothing. I mean, there are theories that aliens have underwater bases.
But, like, showed up, had nothing, just completely ignored humans the entire time they were here.
Well, true.
Went about their business, did what they needed to do, were very clearly here, were very visible.
Well, typically when we go to area, we ignore the wildlife. We look for an intelligent species.
Well, that's probably why they didn't talk to us.
Exactly. So, I took that as a start, and it's like, I got some ideas on where I can run with that.
Clearly, they were here to talk to the true kings of Earth. The octopus.
And then there was...
Octopus or whales. One of the two.
Let me...
Octopuses have that weird, like, they may be aliens anyway.
Yeah. They don't match up with anything else on Earth.
Right. Well, at least that we can see. I mean, might be some underwater stuff that's matching up pretty well with them that we just can't see if it's so far down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff we don't know.
It's kind of, I really love that documentary, My Octopus Teacher. Anybody watch that?
Yes.
I really love that. I thought that was amazing, and I know octopus is a food, not a staple, but definitely on the menu in a number of countries, Mediterranean and Pacific. But I would have trouble eating something that is that smart. For fear of, I don't know, it just seems insulting.
Nah.
So what was it? Doesn't seem like, intelligence is where I draw the line of it's an animal, I guess. And just because it isn't my intelligence doesn't mean it isn't intelligence. You know what I mean?
But it's hard to tell how intelligent some other stuff is because we're basing it off of our definition of intelligence or whatever.
True. And as limited as that is, I mean, I've seen documentaries about crows and ravens and stuff that demonstrate their intelligence being equal to like a 7-year-old child. You know, they have problem-solving thoughts and will forego immediate reward for future better reward, which denotes even a higher level of intelligence.
But also vindictive and hold grudges.
They are, which only endears me to them more.
Right.
But
my favorite part, because like they did something, I forget what the thing was, but basically somebody wore a certain type of mask and like walked around them and, you know, just made a bunch of noise, whatever, spooked them. And then they wore the same mask somewhere else, and birds that weren't even from that original group of birds knew about them and stayed away from them because it was communicated from other birds, yeah. Like, hey, this is a threat.
The words got out. You know, that's this guy's problem. Yeah. Well, I remember that story I read about the little girl. I think I've talked about it here. That her mom would make her toast in the morning, and mom would go do her hair or what, and then they would get in the car and go, and the little girl would go outside and, you know, wait. Well, here it is. She would take part of her toast and feed the ravens that, you know, flocked around the house. And it became, turned out the ravens considered this child part of their group. So the ravens would follow the child to school and would defend her so much that somebody was messing, one of the other kids was messing with her on the playground, and these birds, you know, started harassing this kid. And then when the mother found out about this, they started following the mother. And I guess she was like a photographer or something. And she went somewhere and was taking pictures of something and dropped the lens cap to her camera. And when she came home, the lens cap was sitting on the edge of the bird bath where the ravens would bring them pop tabs and coins and, you know, anything shiny that they considered tribute to the family or what. But there sat her, the lens cap to her camera. They followed her, saw it, picked it up, brought it to her house.
So, yeah, it is one of my goals.
These things are fucking smart.
One of my goals is to get like a flock of ravens.
I know. I want my own personal murder. There was a documentary about, or not even a documentary, just a YouTube video, a lady rescued or assisted a raven that was in distress. It was like hurt or something, so she helped it. And then it just never left. And she named it Darling, and it played with her cat and her dog and was always outside. She never let it in the house because it is, you know, a wild animal. So it wasn't that kind of thing. But whenever they were outside, that raven was there. And then just one day, it, you know, stopped coming. So she would, it was either fell prey to something else or, you know, something happened to it that it wasn't around anymore. But for years, this raven would, you know, was a, another pet. Another part of the family. So,
so what was the other story prompt, Bookman?
Sorry.
This one's less a prompt, and it was more. I read about a guy, and I was like, "Oh, that guy sounds awful. I bet there's a story there." Matthew Hopkins.
Okay. Name sounds familiar.
I figured it would for you. Between 1644 and 1646, Matthew Hopkins, notorious as the Witchfinder General,
yes,
accused around 300 people of witchcraft, representing a significant portion of all of the witch trials in 17th century England.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. I read that, and I'm like, there's something there. There is something awful there.
Yes, there is.
Whether it's a descendant or some acolyte.
Or somebody just trying to bring it back in the modern age because, God, what are the witches doing now? Drinking adrenochrome?
There's a couple of ways to take that story.
Yeah, just point fingers. You are the other.
Maybe he had descendants and the witches decided it was time for some payback.
I see Leah Thompson. Is that her name? The swimmer, trans swimmer, Thomas. I guess. Thomas. And they took away all her medals and stuff and gave it to the other girl on the parade of toxic about times were a little much, but
did they actually do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I had seen a bunch of like vaguely Onion style articles about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard one way or the other, so
yeah, no, that did not happen. The NCAA is, this is from the AP.
Okay.
The NCAA is not taking medals away from transgender athlete Leah Thomas.
I see there's a lot of pictures of, like, female swimmers, and then on their suits says, not a dude, right, at the crotch. So there's a lot of, like, negative memes going around.
Yeah. Well,
negative memes. I don't believe it.
Yeah. Surprise. The internet is a shit show. No way.
Yeah. Fuck them all. Or don't, you know, depending on how you feel about these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know not everybody plays the Snap anymore.
Mm-mm.
But I think everybody, I'm going to drop a picture of my newest. God damn it. Did I? Okay. Let me log into the game and I'll grab a picture. I finally got a Silver Surfer split that I love.
I mean, I got the black and white pixels, so I stopped there.
Yeah, I don't love the pixels the way you do, sir.
What I'm saying, I just, once I find a black and white pixel, I can stop that line. Uh-huh. I do enjoy that I can switch it up to whatever now, but I don't like that. Yes. I can't mix and match. Like, yeah. I thought I got a black and white somewhere, I could put it on a different one, but I cannot.
They're going to need to fix that.
Basically, you still have to get it. You just can go back a level if you made the wrong border on it, type of thing.
Right. There you go. I finally got a Silver Surfer that I think is fantastic.
That is the least Max Greck that I've ever seen.
I know, right?
That's just the Surfer. That's,
yeah.
I would expect more from.
But I feel like, because 90% of his art style is from the side.
Yeah.
And you have to have the board, otherwise it's not Surfer.
Right.
Yeah, I could see how it'd be hard. I still like the Max Greck vision I had.
I am starting to amass a pretty awesome collection of cards with the white crackle effect.
Okay.
So I've now
I don't really check that as much. Like, that's not something I usually look out for.
I have
about the little bubbles on the outside type of thing.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Okay. I now have that Surfer. I've got a baby Chavez. And then I've got inked Dan Hip with it and inked baby Nebula with it.
Okay.
Though I did also get the worst Silver Surfer split I've ever seen today. Like, this is just, I hope that the screenshot does it justice. Because goddamn, this one is fucking hideous. Yeah, that shows it. So you gotta look close. Because it's really cool because the gold background looks great with the Planet Hawk Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that black crackle effect is just garbage.
Yeah.
God, that's so bad.
It's, well, in the picture, it's not moving, so it's almost not noticeable too. So.
Don't worry, when it's moving, it's not noticeable either. Like, it's kind of noticeable if you're looking at it in your collection.
Oh, my God. I just searched Max Greck and came up the Captain America one. It looks like a kind of a homage or poke fun at the Rob Liefeld super boob. Ooh, the Galactus looks cool.
The Galactus is pretty cool. I almost splurged and got the Galactus, but instead I got the baby Jean Grey.
The Thor looks pretty decent too. I forgot about the Deadpool. The Deadpool's pretty great.
Yeah.
Debris not bad looking either. But I had the perfect Debris one. I had the chibi Debris. She was that was so cute.
Yeah, I've basically decided that if they have a baby version available, I'm just gonna get that.
Some are better than others, but yeah, it's pretty safe buy. I follow him on Instagram. He just did another like a poster. I think you can buy on his store, and it's just kind of wider than it is tall, but just a crowd of Marvel characters coming at you. All the baby versions.
Yeah. I've just decided that I'm just a fan of Scotty Young's art, and I just don't want to have to.
No reason not to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that his baby Nebula is the best Nebula variant, and it's not even close. Like, it captures the attitude that character has exuded since the late 80s. And it doesn't hurt that it's an adorable little almost chibi baby looking character to boot, being a space pirate.
There's the Scotty Young thing I was talking about. It's even got Spider Punk on the right side.
Who is that underneath Daredevil?
Where's Daredevil? Is that one of the Madam Web people?
Maybe.
I don't recognize her.
But... got like glowing hands, so.
Yeah. There's somebody in that sphere that has red goggles like that. Like the almost cataract lenses.
Yeah.
I think the Storm looks cool. She's like standing on that cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way he does Cyclops. He's got the huge visor, and it's almost like a big square of lights coming out of it.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that version of his Iron Man, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. It looks, because of the way the armor is. It's like his body needs to be chunky to match the other. It's like his body's too skinny. He doesn't look like the other babies.
Okay.
I mean, look at the Captain America next to him, how thick his midsection is. He's got that like kind of baby chub to him.
Yeah.
And that Iron Man is just like a stick figure.
I think my favorite one in this whole thing is
Venom.
No, the Moon Knight.
Really? I was just looking at Moon Knight. Is that his whole face or just an eye?
It's just an eye.
Okay, so it's like a profile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. That is original.
I do like that it's babies, but the Doctor Strange still has a goatee.
Yeah. Yeah, that Moon Knight is a riff on a classic Moon Knight cover.
Right.
Yeah, there's one where I want to say that one's done at kind of like a three-quarter turn, so you can kind of see both eyes, but the eyes looked like crescent moons and the shadowing just made him look menacing, and it was clear that it was still a white costume, but the shadows and the color play made it look almost black. It was super cool.
I like the face in the show that looked made him look more mummy-ish.
Yeah.
How the wraps were visible across his face back and forth, but I have limited connection to Moon Knight as a comic.
I believe Jeff was a big fan of Moon Knight, right?
I mean, I not that I went and not read,
big
but
fan,
I,
but
I enjoy Moon Knight.
Okay.
It's one of the few characters where his out of costume persona is almost more interesting than his hero version.
Yeah.
Because of the chaotic nature of his mind.
True.
It's very Marvel, though. I mean, it's very Spider-Man having real world problems, being a real teenager, kind of, you know, aside from being a hero, is like his life isn't a piece of cake because he's a hero. It's probably worse. Speaking of which, did you see there's a within the Spider-Verse short today? It's like a 12-minute little animated short. It's fucking beautiful, as is everything in that art style from that studio. But if you're afraid of spiders, don't watch it.
Interesting.
It's quite the arachnophobia kind of feeling to it. He's having a little anxiety. It's kind of a vignette. I'm not sure like where it's supposed to take place, but it's almost like before the last movie, I would say.
Interesting.
But, yeah, just a little teaser.
I do have that Silver Surfer as well.
Yeah?
The Grecky one. I was looking because they just opened his collection up.
Yeah. That Planet Hulk one is fucking awesome, though.
Yeah, I like the Planet Hulk variants overall.
Do they have Hulk in Planet Hulk with where he has Silver Surfer's? Or no, he has the big like tower shield and the mace or something.
I don't
from that. I just remember him fighting Silver Surfer in that comic. Yeah,
I'm trying to think if I have that one or not. I don't know if it was from the season pass or if that was one that was for monies.
Probably monies.
But I mean, they did introduce Scar in Kyera.
Wow.
And who else did they introduce that was part of the Planet Hulk shit? I mean,
Korg was always in there. Meek?
Yeah, Korg and Meek. Yeah, Planet Hulk was a really fun season, even though a lot of people would tell you that Scar was one of the worst season pass cards ever. I disagree.
I mean, I enjoyed his decks during that season.
I still use him in two decks today.
I've been hitting that point where I'm just kind of like, I pick whatever I need to accomplish the most stuff, and
yeah.
I just kind of keep using that deck until it stops working.
Yeah, so I mean,
I used Scar like 3 weeks into the next season, and then I swapped off.
Yeah, I stopped playing when it felt like it was more of a chore I had to do to finish the dailies. Sure. I wasn't playing because it was fun. I was playing because I had something to do and to do it. Basically, where I was with Future Fight in the end.
Yep.
I'm just doing it because I don't want to miss out on, you know, the stuff you get.
Right.
Not because I want it, not because I need it, not because I'm doing anything with it.
Right.
So it's like, because I played Future Fight that way, and that's where I ended up, I recognized it when I got to Snap in the same venue. And I'm like, okay, this is where I can leave and feel comfortable.
Star is probably one of my favorite cards they've ever released.
What's he do?
He's a 6/11.
A little much.
He costs 2 less for every card you have in play with 10 power or more.
Okay.
So if, for instance, you skip turn 3 and play She-Hulk on turn 4, and then on turn 5 you play...
she's only got power 9, right?
No, she's back to 10.
Okay.
So She-Hulk on turn 4, and then you could play a 1-cost card in Call Obsidian on turn 5. Then on turn 6, you have a Scar that costs you 2. Assuming that your opponent didn't Shang-Chi either of your 10 powers that you had in play. But there's ways to mitigate that.
Even if they did, he still costs 4, and you can still get a second card in there.
Right, right. DP. Yeah, I mean, Scar is... I still have a Thanos deck. They're going to have to do something if they really want Thanos to take a back seat for a little bit. I mean, they made the Mind Stone cost 2, and it just doesn't matter.
They also made the Time Stone, the green one.
Yeah.
The next card you draw is 1 less instead of 1 extra energy.
Yep. And then they nerfed Psylocke. And it just...
Oh, they nerfed Psylocke. What'd they do to her?
They took away a power.
She's just a little weaker.
Yeah.
You never played her for power anyways.
Yeah, you don't give a shit about the power. Just put her back into 2/2 and realize that...
I play her and you can kill her. I don't care.
Yeah. The problem that they're running into is that the Thanos deck shell is so not about Thanos and the stones. It's about the utility and the draw and all the interesting things that you get because you're doing Thanos.
Every card game is about a draw.
Right.
They need also, a bunch of cheap cards. So if you've got any cards like Mockingbird, where it's discounted and things like that.
Yeah, Mockingbird is such a fantastic card, but I will be the first one to tell you, if they don't find a way to nerf her interaction with the stones, she's going to get nerfed harder.
She's going to have to count cards that start in your deck.
So,
or only affect cards that start in her deck?
No, her whole thing is she costs less for every card you have in play that didn't start in your deck.
Oh,
the problem is she's a 5/9, so she can't be Shang-Chi'd anymore because Shang only gets 10 power or more now.
Oh, I mean, if they make her 10, then I think she could just be Shang-Chi'd, and I think that takes care of some of it.
Probably.
I feel like that's their first solution, and then they'll go from there.
I hope not, though.
Just make her 10 power.
I like her at 9 power.
But if they make her 10 power, then they basically require people to run Shang.
I mean, Shang is already the most popular card in the game.
He always has been. He's been the most played card in losing decks.
He's not the most popular in that sense anymore. He's basically...
It was like most played card in losing decks and winning deck.
Yeah.
It just makes him the most played.
Yeah. because everybody wants that. He's perfect utility. He's short swords to show plowshares.
I personally think that they need to make Shang-Chi work the way Enchantress does.
He affects your guys on your side too.
Yep.
Shang's yours, or he only hits one.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something like the,
because he kills everybody on that side that's that power, right?
Correct.
But if he only affects one, that really hurts the.
There's a lot of times where he's only affected one anyway.
Right.
True.
I don't know how many times they use him for two versus anything else.
You're right. Getting lucky. You're lucky if you're getting two. But
they're making a play mistake by putting too many 10 power things in one location.
Right. Yeah, but usually you're playing that because they're playing everything on the Nexus. Trying to win all locations, or they're gonna throw down a tribunal or something. But
tribunal doesn't run a single shangable card now.
Wow! Oh, it's all. It's because if it's 10, it wouldn't do it. You're running Onslaught and all that shit, right?
Right. Onslaught, Iron Man, Mystique. All that garbage. I mean, if you're doing the Hela Tribunal, then yes, you still run big power cards, but the goal is to not play them and to use Hela to get them into play, so it doesn't even matter then, because you're not going to have priority.
Well, the problem is, this is, I guess, big picture thinking, this game doesn't survive if you're only catering to people with cards. You got to bring in new players. And
correct.
Shang needs to work for those first, 60 levels. He needs to be there because it made a big difference when you got that card when you first started playing.
Sure.
It changed a lot because you went from winning half the time to competing all the time. So either that or they need to make you go quicker through that beginning part.
I think they need to take a look at Shang-Chi.
I've considered reloading it just to have something on my phone that I can play, but I don't really need.
Well, the thing I like is
on my phone,
you can log in and kind of just burn through a bunch of stuff pretty quickly. Like, they haven't made the dailies too hard lately.
No.
I don't feel like I have to do a bunch of stuff or I'm screwed.
The hardest was always make your opponent retreat or something.
Not so much anymore. You just gotta not care about your stuff and you just hit the...
win a location with less than 10 power or some shit like that.
One sucks, but technically you can play one, and if you're winning on like third turn, just concede and it'll give you the credit.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Play proving grounds. Just play proving grounds. Whenever I have missions like that that are kind of a pain in the ass to pull off, I just go play.
Oh yeah.
Rounds and
I kept thinking like, what location is that? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't think it was proving grounds when I'm playing.
Snap turn one and just roll with it. Eventually, people will retreat.
Yeah.
I'm playing like a weird version of it's a like Brood and Mockingbird and kind of the Patriot deck, kind of Silver Surfer.
Yeah. Absorbing Man, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Are you running Hope?
No.
OK. Okay. Sometimes I see people running hope, and sometimes I don't.
I don't have anything like against her. It's just I'm not getting her out enough sometimes.
Sure.
For it to be worth it.
I ended up dropping, so my surfer deck is very similar to what you're talking about. I ended up dropping Patriot in favor of Hope for a smoother economy. But I like, at some point you have to cut something. It just comes down to, like, what do you feel comfortable cutting?
Right. And so far this is working out enough that I'm not making any crazy changes, but
right.
Yeah. So like the nice thing here is like this runs a Leoth. So if I'm winning, I can just kill everything on turn six.
Right.
There's one location that they got to win. Like this person just filled up everything and I had priority. And so
just gotcha.
Drop it on turn six. So, I don't know. Sometimes it's just like, oh, here's a bunch of cards I enjoy playing that fits
in. Did you say Elias?
Elias? I don't know how it's pronounced.
No. I couldn't think if that was the big ugly cloud thing or the bug guy.
It's the cloud thing, the 6/2.
I was confusing it with Annihilus.
Oh, okay. No,
You pronounced it a little different, and I couldn't decide which one you meant. Sorry,
That's fine.
Picking on you, I was legitimately confused.
Yeah, that's the deck I'm mostly running right now. I do still have a Thanos deck that I pull out from time to time because I enjoy Thanos. Fun deck to play.
Well, there's so many different versions of Thanos now. It depends on which one you're playing, I guess.
I'm playing Mockingbird, Scar, Blob.
Oh, Scar Blob. Okay.
Yeah.
Most of the times I end up just popping on when the new card comes out as soon as I get it. And if I get it, because I've missed a couple of the last ones, but I had to use all three chests to get Cannonball to do the stuff last week. But
ugh.
Ornstein looks fun, but we'll see.
He's okay. There's
not quite enough locations that restrict stuff, but I could see him good with Storm and
he's good with Infinaut and Ebony Maw and that kind of stuff. But if
So he gets around Infinaut too.
Yeah, he gets around Infinaut. You can play Sentry right side. You can play Ebony Maw after turn three.
You can play the left turn
the left Giganto.
Giganto. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just thought it meant location restrictions.
Nope.
And not whatever, but that makes sense.
He's okay. It's going to be a balancing game, as it always is, with how many of these restrictive cards are you going to run? You have to run enough that War Machine feels worth it, but not enough that if you don't draw War Machine, you feel fucked.
Right, because that's very much a possibility with a lot of those.
Right.
Like,
so
the Annihilus one, if you didn't draw Annihilus,
right,
it sucked.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a War Machine kind of deck, but I don't know.
I didn't open any cases this week, so I don't. I don't know
if I will get them. I was up to 8 keys, so I figured might as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say for the last 6 weeks, I've been playing consistently,
maybe
5-6 days a week, but yeah, I still haven't played consistent enough to build up for. There were a couple of weeks where I had to burn 3 keys, and that pretty much ate up all my supply.
Well, they also had a couple of bundles that were pretty good deals.
Yeah, I'm spending money on other games, so I'm not.
Yeah.
There's only so much to go around, and I've got five or six different games I play in between the PlayStation and that have dailies and all the other stuff. So,
right. There was the bundle that included the don't touch the button Groot emote.
Mm.
I got that one.
Okay.
Don't even feel bad. Like, I love that emote. It also came with 5,000 credits, so.
Yeah, like I said, there's been a few that I was like, that was a good deal. I would have bought that if I wasn't.
If you weren't, spending
a couple of bucks here and a couple of bucks there on other stuff.
Right. I don't blame you.
I'm trying to be less of a degen.
Wow.
It's not working, but I'm trying.
Awesome.
Jefferson, did you take your melatonin?
I did not. Because that always ends up wrecking me, and I end up needing 10 to 12 hours of sleep. So
Yes, we metabolize things at a very different rate.
Yes. And I have I've not taken melatonin. I have just been playing Maneater and hunting humans.
Okay.
You're playing what now?
It is a game called Maneater. It is the only, I believe, what they call shark PG.
Okay.
You're a shark. The whole point of the game is you're a shark and you're just going around trying to get bigger. I mean, there's a story to it.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah, there's a story to it. And Chris Parnell does the voiceover.
I didn't know he spoke shark.
I mean, the shark speaks English, apparently.
You lost me.
Okay. The shark doesn't speak at all. The whole game is done as it's presented as though it's like a docuseries on like Discovery or something.
Okay.
Like Ice Road Truckers or the like ice fishing crazy people.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That sort of a thing.
Okay.
And it intersperses you, like it'll go to these random, well, they're not random, but it'll go to cutscenes of this this guy who's hunting you. Because you ate his arm.
Okay.
So you're Moby Dick, the shark.
Kind of.
So do you eat his arm when you're a baby? Yes, or?
You eat his arm as a baby, and it's like one of the first things you do is get caught by this guy, and then you eat his arm, and that's how you escape. Like, he gets bit, you escape, and then you go and get bigger by eating things.
Is he a little person?
No, God, no. This dude's enormous. Like, he's just a big, he's a big fella.
You're a largemouth baby shark.
Apparently.
But then the guy gets a really cool prosthetic hand. Arm, claw thing. Hook.
Okay.
Hook hand.
Shark, that's probably shark, more shark have harpoon.
No. But he is determined to end you.
And being a shark in the ocean, you're easy to find. So,
well, the beauty of it is that the game doesn't take place in the ocean. It's, well, it's sort of. It's more like it's...
It's hard to be a shark without an ocean.
Well, no, it's...
You can be a river shark.
Well, bull sharks can come in fresh water for a time.
No, they can live there.
Well,
they're finding bull sharks that have lived in fresh water for... decades.
Oh, I know they birth their young in the shallows because of protection, and it's only because of some gland that they're able to basically self-salinate the water.
I just dropped a picture of the map in the group chat because it's it's got like islands and bridges that connect the islands, and you're in these underground water-filled tunnels.
Oh, okay. Hollow Earth. Dig it.
Not quite Hollow Earth, but... The fuck? Oh, that's the guy I'm hunting. That's the shark I'm after. No.
What's the water and what's the land? Is the light blue the land?
Light blue is land.
Okay.
Which you can go on.
Because you're a shark.
Because you can jump out of the water, and there is nothing more fun than jumping out of the water onto a beach and just going ham.
Well, okay.
I mean, it is the other white meat.
It is. Dylan.
This is Dylan.
Okay. Human.
So, when you win the game, is it because you killed the guy hunting you?
It's also, well, you're not just after that guy. There are also these apex predators in each of the areas that you can go to.
Uh-huh.
And the object is to also become the apex predator.
Okay. Is one of them a crocodile?
Yes.
Okay.
The one, I actually just fought one probably 10 minutes ago, that was this fucking crazy mutated barracuda.
Hmm.
So do you get like a skill tree as a shark, or?
So as you...
How do you level a shark?
Eating. Like, that is it. You just, as you swim around, there's constantly fish and turtles and other sharks and people, and everything you eat contributes to your growth.
Okay.
And then as you get bigger, your abilities become better. You can swim faster, you become tougher, all that good stuff, because you are leveling up. But you can... And this is where it gets weird. This is where it gets really weird. You can get these evolution parts, and so you can essentially swap out parts of the shark.
Oh.
Like, I currently have the shadow teeth equipped. They restore health on attack.
Okay.
But I also have these bioelectric teeth that release a shock on strikes and will actually do an AoE pulse shock that can stun.
Okay. That's not terrifying. I think I know what's keeping you up at night. Fucking sharks with taser teeth.
I'm like shark cops.
Kinda.
Taser face the shark.
You know, oddly, I think I'm not going to dispute that. I will agree. I think maybe he does. He's at least got the coloring of Taserface.
So, do you get to customize what your shark looks like?
The parts allow you to customize it, but otherwise, they just look like they look until you upgrade their body. When you swap out the body, they become a different type. Like mine is currently a tiger shark, because that's the default body you start with.
I just want you to tell me that this is one of the free monthly games.
No, I bought this.
Okay.
Is this for computer or for...
I got it on PS5. Actually, it might... it might have been from... there? God, I don't remember.
Do you know how long ago it would have been?
I mean, maybe last year.
Okay. I downloaded all the free games, but I don't actually,
I add them to my library. Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the smart play.
Which is why I don't do it.
Because you like to make things hard for yourself.
I do.
Free game's free game. If I want to play it in the future, cool. If I never want to play it, but not out anything.
I have the opportunity. Yeah, I'm paying for it anyways.
And my rambling has made us go incredibly long.
That's fine.
Yeah. Fuck.
I need to go let the dog out. I'm the only one here, so.
Yeah, and I. Yeah. I gotta go because I'm.
That's fine.
I'm.
Okay.
If I'm not, like, constantly up moving around and ranting, I'm fighting to not doze off. So.
You should doze off. So.
I really should.
Go ahead and cut it.
Awesome. Yeah.